Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Thank you, Union Grove, and thank you for letting me come and be with you this morning. I thank of Union Grove Church and Lubbock for Christ's sake. I have a man buried out here that I'm named after, Josiah Balcom. My mother was a Balcom, and a lot of the Balcoms came through Union Grove Church. And so I got my wife from Union Grove Church. She was not a member, I don't believe, but she was an attender. And so her father and mother were members here and are buried here. So I've had an interest in this church. And when Brother Ronnie called me and told me that he was considering the call from Union Grove, I rejoiced. I said, thank God. I knew Brother Newell was getting, as me, the health was getting so that you needed somebody to come and take his place. I knew you hated to give him up, but still, it was imperative that you call someone to do that service. I have given up all my churches. I've had the privilege of serving with four different ministers who came out of the Missionary Baptist Church. I was pastor to three of them. Brother Ron Curley and I worked together a long time, and he was a Missionary Baptist that came to the Primitive Baptist. Elder Parks was a member of the church I pastored. Brother David Brooks was a member of the church I pastored. I helped ordain him in that church, and he is now pastor of the church that I was serving at the time. So and Brother Charles Smith has been a member of Larger Springs Church, where I pastored for some time. He's moved his membership now to Crooked Creek, where he will be buried and where his wife and son are buried. So we were sorry to see him leave us, but glad that he went to the Old Baptist Church. So it's been an honor and a privilege to me to have spent my life in service to my Lord, amen, trying to please my Lord in the things that I do for him. I know I can't fulfill it as well as I would love, but I have tried. And I never wanted to destroy what I've tried to build up. Amen. I've seen so many men work to build up the church and then turn around and try to destroy it. That's been the heartache that I've seen in times past. So I want to finish my course with joy, rejoicing in the Lord and praising and thank God, amen, for such a wonderful people that I've met over the years. I've met them from California to all over most of these United States. It's been a great blessing. I lived in the Virginias and traveled into the Washington, D.C. areas many times. And through those places in that part of the country. So it's been a pleasure to do what I've done. And I rejoice today that the Old Baptist Church is going on. I love the young ministers that are coming on. Thank God for Brother James. He means a lot to me, and I had the privilege of baptizing him, and I had the privilege of helping to ordain him. And I wish him the very best, and will do everything I can in my power to help him, to administer the things that God has given to us. And I pray the old line. I'm an old line Baptist.
Me too.
I don't want to see the church change. The church don't need changing. I'm the one who needs changing. And so we all need to change. This subject that I have on my mind this morning, I preached it one time when the Wilson Church at Wilson, North Carolina, was repenting from absolutism. And I preached on this subject at that church that day, and if I can remember, I haven't ever preached on it anymore, but I hope I understand it and can bring to you the message that God has given us in it. That's what I want. I'm going to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Israel of old is our example. And they passed through the sea to get out of Egyptian bondage. And so, while passing through, they were baptized under Moses. And also, they all partook of the spiritual meat. Now, the reason I say spiritual meat, because only those with the Spirit can partake of spiritual things. The flesh cannot take of spiritual things, those that are in the flesh without the Spirit. That's why those going afar trying to take the dead alien sinner out of death and bring him into life can't do it. They have not the power to do it. They're deceiving somebody to tell them such a thing. But I'm going to tell you that that's the work of God. God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage across the Red Sea on dry land. And when they got across, they were hungry. Hunger is the evidence of life. And those that hunger have life. The dead don't hunger. I'm not worried to try to feed my wife in the grave. I'm not worried about feeding my grandfather here in the cemetery. But I am worried about feeding my children and those that I love. And so, that's what the gospel's for. They got across the Red Sea, and they had no food, and they began to murmur. And God saw fit to take care of them as He does you and I. And it was not the true bread of life, but it was symbolic of the true bread. God fed them with manna. And that manna came down from God. And it was free. It didn't cost them a dime. God fed Israel with manna. That manna was round. It had no beginning and it had no end. Jesus Christ's love, His great and wonderful love, is like a great golden ring, has no beginning and no end. It will endure eternally forever. So He loved the people. I wondered sometimes when Adam sinned and God was hurt. It didn't please God. And let me tell you this, I don't believe for one minute that man had to sin in order for God to save man. He saved them even though they sinned. And sin brought anguish to him. And I wondered why he didn't just wipe them all off the globe and forget them. But God could not do that because he had a love. He loved a people, and he loved a people with an everlasting, eternal love and an unconditional love. And therefore, he loved them so great till he gave his son in a place for them. That's why Jesus came, because he loved a people. And to redeem and purchase them with his own blood. So, though that bread was free unto them, and they were to go out and gather it. And though it was baked, or it was crushed, or it was chewed, that displayed the fact that Jesus would be wounded for us. He would have to bear the brunt of our sin in his own body. And that would cause him to be bruised, to be broken, to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. Not only did they murmur and complain for not having food, they murmured and complained because they'd had no water. And here lay a rock. And that rock looked like the earth. And who would have ever thought of water coming out of a rock? But God told Moses to go to the rock of Horeb and to strike it, and it would give water. And they drank water. The Israelites had water for 38 years. But the game came them again to another place, and that place was Ramus, I can't pronounce it. Anyway, they came to another rock. And the people were murmuring and complaining. God Moses brought them out here to die, having no water to drink, and their cattle would die. But instead of dying, God told Moses and Aaron, said, go take your elders and go to that rock and speak to the rock. I want to please my father. As a child, that was my desire and my aim in my heart, was always to please my father. Sometimes he'd give me a job, and I was like, you know, in the 21st chapter of Matthew's, we have an example. A father had two sons. And he went to the first son, and he said, son, go to work in my vineyard. And the son said, I will not. I never told my father that. I had to put on my cotton sack and go to the cotton field. And that wasn't a pleasant place to be. But I went, because he told me. But this son said, I will not. And he went to the other son, and the other son said, I go, sir. That's me. But then I found something else I wanted to do. And I would begin to do this other thing. And I forgot about what Father told me. But the other boy loved his father. And he knew that Father had furnished him with the things he needed all his life and done for him so very much. And he repented. You remember Peter told those Jews that had crucified the Lord and been with those that crucified the Lord, "You've taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain him." And they left the Lord. And they were pricked in the heart. And they cried out. And they said, "What must we do?" Yes, there's some doing in the house of God. There's some doing among the children of God. And that are everything that causes action, that brings action, comes after life. Not a thing comes before life that you do. Lou and I had some trouble over this. We read in Matthew, it says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say to you? Or not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we didn't understand the kingdom of heaven and heaven being two different places. But we kept studying and kept going to old Baptist churches in Virginia and around. And we soon learned that there was a kingdom of heaven here upon this earth. And so it takes some doing to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But to enter into heaven itself is the work of God. And he'll take you there without any work on your part. But it's his work. And his work to make you a spiritual child of God. He sends forth his spirit into your heart, crying, "Abba, Father." If you've ever cried unto the Lord and begged him for mercy and begged him to show you what you should do, that's what Cornelius was doing. When Peter was sent to Cornelius, he didn't send Peter down there to give Cornelius life. Cornelius was a praying man. How could you pray if you didn't have life? He had life. That's why he prayed. And the angel of the Lord said, "Send for Peter. He'll tell you what to do." That's why God sends these ministers to you. They are apt to teach. You need some teaching done. My people are destroyed for lack of ignorance. That's what we're told in Hosea. You remember Hosea, the book of Hosea? You remember Ephraim? Ephraim is a cake unturned. He's just cooked on one side. You know, those spirits that were on the apostles on Pentecost Day, they had... those spirits were divided. So you need to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to be able to see what God has done and what he told you to do. And therefore, "Why call ye me Lord and do not the things I say unto you? Do you not know that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance?" He's told you what to do. And what has gotten Israel in trouble in days past, and I'll read the fifth verse down here. Let me go on. "And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, And did it all drink the same spiritual drink? Yes, that's what God has given you that gives you the strength and the ability to do the things he's called upon you to do. You're not without that help. You're not without that strength that God gives you. He works in you both to will and to do. He doesn't work the will. He doesn't make you do it. He chastens you if you don't do it. But he's not there to move you like a puppet. But you do the things that because you love him and because you desire to please him, that's the reason you do the things you do. You want to please God. I don't want to offend him. I feel like sometimes maybe I've offended him by my actions. But I want to please him. And I want you to please him. Because in pleasing him, you have peace with God. You have joy with God. You are at ease and it's a wonderful thing to please God. So you work to please him. But in the fifth chapter he says, did all drink the same spiritual drink? Did all eat the same spiritual meat? They ate that manna that fell from heaven. They drank that water that came out of the rock. And that rock followed them wherever they went, so we're told. And that rock was Christ. That was a picture. That was the picture. It was Christ. But with many of them, many of those Israelites that had come out of Egypt, had drunk the spiritual drinks and ate the spiritual meat, but with many of them, God was not pleased. Moses and Aaron came to that rock, and rather than speaking to the rock, they struck the rock with a rod. And God told them they would not enter into the land that he had promised them. The good land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the land that they had longed for and wanted to see and wanted to be in. And yet, because of their disobedience at the rock, not giving God the glory, not giving him the honor before the Israelite people that he deserved, must we bring you water out of the rock? They couldn't make a drop of water. They didn't have the ability to give them one drop of water. Only God could furnish Israel with the things she stood in need of. That's why men don't have the right to build up anything of their own to bring to the church of God. They must go to God for it.
Amen.
And so Moses and Aaron tried to take the honor that belonged to God unto themselves, and they failed to enjoy the land that flowed with milk and honey. In the Old Testament, one fella, he saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold and of silver, and he took those things that from the world and hid them under his tent, under his bed in the earth, and Israel suffered for their disobedience, for his disobedience. So, many times Israel, because they failed to do what God directed, and tried to go on their own, they did not please God, and God allowed the enemy to come in on them and overrun them. So these things are our example that we should remember, that though we have the Spirit of God, yet we have a cross. The natural man doesn't have that cross. He cannot please God. He only has one nature, and that is the fallen nature. But God's children have two natures. They have the nature that of the natural man, and they have the nature of the spiritual man. They have a warfare within their own soul that continues daily. Thank God I had a precious companion that loved the old Baptist even as much as I did, and she said, go. Go! I feel sorry for teachers' wives, Brother Ronnie, because they have it lonely sometimes, because I had to go sometime in the middle of the night to the hospital. Sometimes go to the home when someone, I had two or three that had killed themselves, had shot themselves. And I had to go to those homes under those circumstances, leave the wife and children. I left home one morning at Christmas, on Christmas Day. Didn't wake up the children because I was going all the way to Columbia, South Carolina, for a funeral on Christmas Day. So, you never know what you're going to face. But I had a little sister over there that I went to, and all she had in her house was nail kegs. I sat on a nail keg in her house. She was on the county furnished her some money to live on, and the church took up money for her to help her. And sometimes she'd give me a dime, sometimes she'd give me a quarter. But me and my wife would take that money and go buy her something to wear. We'd buy her a shirt or something, some kind of clothes that we could give to her to take back. Old Deacon taught me that lesson. Old Brother Dry, I went to his house, and he had a son that had spasms. And I'd had prayer with him, and I started to leave, and the boy gave me his flashlight. And I had just started in the ministry, and I said, I'll not take that light. You need to keep that light, so you need it. The old deacon followed me out to the car. He said, I'm surprised at you. You refused to take that flashlight from that boy. And it was his joy to give you that light. I said, I'm so sorry. I hurt him. I won't do that anymore. I'll take whatever his people desire to give me, and I'll see if I can get it back to them in some other way. He said, I believe you can learn how to give it back to that boy in another way. So, those things we think of, and those things are things that we want to please our Lord. And to please him is to do what he's told us to do. Go you therefore in all of the world, and teach them to obey, observe whatsoever I've commanded you. I want to do that. And that's been my life's desire. Amen. That I might serve him on his terms. Not tear up the church. Not destroy the church. But to bring the church together in unity, in peace, and see her prosper in the things of God. May we all please our Lord. In his name we pray and give thanks this day. Amen.
Thankful for Brother Joe's effort this morning, and I love Brother Joe. It seems like the more time I spend with him, the more I love him, and just to appreciate his humble spirit and his knowledge in the Word. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to take just a few minutes to touch on something that Brother Joe has mentioned this morning. I love to listen to preaching that stirs my mind to study. And Brother Joe stirred my mind concerning something that I think is very important for us to understand in God's Word. And it not only will help us concerning something Brother Joe said, but also it would benefit us in other subjects. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, that he there is Jesus, the Lord, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The word observation there means an outward showing or manifestation, something could be seen with an eye. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Brother Joe had mentioned something in his effort about heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Those phrases are synonymous in Scripture. And every time we read about kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it's not referencing the same thing. And it's important that we're able in our study to rightly divide what the Bible's teaching when it says kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Now, Brother Joe is able to do that because the Lord has blessed him to do it. And being able to do that, it'll help you with a lot of Scripture. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly, meaning accurately, dividing, cutting, accurately cutting the word of truth. What does that mean? That means keeping each verse in its proper context. That means understanding the subject matter before we come to a conclusion what that verse is saying. I find at least three different contexts in the Bible concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it's important that we keep each one of those in their proper context. And in doing so, man, it'll help us understand multiple subjects in the Bible. Now, when the Pharisees come to Jesus here and demanded when the kingdom of God should come, Jesus said it's coming not with observation, neither shall you say, lo here, lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I want to give you a simple definition for kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. You ready? Where God rules, where God reigns. Here in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus is referring to an aspect of the kingdom in the heart, on the inside of the child of God. You know, by nature, we're evil, we're wicked, we're no good. Have you ever noticed you never have to teach anybody to do wrong? You don't have to teach anybody to do wrong. You know, if you took everybody when they were just little infants and put them out here on an island all by themselves and away from society, away from the world, and said, here, they're going to be away from all the ungodly influence. They'll all be perfect, right? No, they'll still know how to argue and learn how to fight. They'll know how to do all those things. You know, my dad told a man once, his boys, David and I, he said, I never had to teach them to argue or not get along. They were born fighting and not getting along. You know, you have to teach people to lie. They just know how to tell lies, right? Know how to tell stories. Mama said, people just, kids just know how to tell stories. You don't have to tell them to do that. They know how to do it. But you know, God's little children, at some point between conception and death, God in a vital way is going to come into them and reign in their heart. Now, they're not asking to come because they don't want good. It's just God comes and he rules in their heart. Matthew chapter 12, he'll bind the strong man and he'll spoil his goods in his house. Dear children of God, the Lord is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. Now, I want to give you some assurance the kingdom of God is in you. If you want to do good, if you love God, if you love his church, those are all evidences that God is in you. Brother Joe said it clearly. Action does not precede life. Life always precedes action. I don't remember. I was born May 16th, 1969. I don't remember sitting on the front porch of my mom and daddy's house and saying, hey, Pop, if you don't mind, I'd like to be born on May the 16th, 1969. I don't remember having that conversation. You know why? It never happened. Now, after I was born and had life, I had experiences with life. Those were the actions of life. When the Lord reigns in our heart, that's when we're born again. That's when the Lord puts that life in us. And if you want good, if you love God, if you want to do right, if you feel guilty for sin, you feel guilty for wrong, that's all evidence of life. What that means is God is ruling in your heart. Someone would say, well, there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, doesn't it say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in. Is that Jesus knocking on our heart door, saying, let me come in so I can reign? Does that text fit this context? Elder Lonnie Mazingo Jr. in Southwest Mississippi, you may remember his dad, Elder Lonnie Sr. Brother Lonnie went to school one day and somebody told him, said, you know, the Lord knocks on your heart and you've got to let him in. If you're going to become a born-again child of God, the Lord will come in and reign in your heart. And Lonnie told his daddy, he said, you know, I want to let the Lord in. He said, son, he said, get in the house. And he said, and shut the door of the house. I'm going to go outside. And he said, I'm going to knock on the door of the house. And he said, what I want you to do is just open it up to see who it is. I know you know it's me, but just see who it is. And he said, but don't let me in. Just see who it is. So Lonnie Sr. went outside, knocked on the door. Lonnie Jr. opened the door and said, as soon as he opened the door, Lonnie Jr. Sr. just kicked the door open, just knocked him back on his backside. And there he was sitting on the floor. He said, son, look, he said, you can't even keep me out of the house. How are you going to keep the Lord out of your heart? When it's God's will to reign in his children's heart, he reigns in their heart. And what we see is the evidence of God reigning in their heart. That's it. You can't keep the Lord out. I didn't ask him to come. He just come. I'm just glad I've got this hope he's in me. And I can see the evidences of him being in me, that I have eternal life. And I want every child of God to have that assurance that God is reigning in your heart, that he's in you, that you're going to heaven, that Jesus loved you. And I want to tell you, God's got children. He's reigning in your hearts all over the world. Do you know there's only one group on earth that believes there's going to be more in heaven than the Primitive Baptists? You know who it is? The Universalist. Universalist believes everybody's going to be in heaven. Now, we don't believe everybody's going to be in heaven, but I believe most of the people on earth will be in heaven, because anywhere you see good, not just someone that has the knowledge of the Bible in their mind, but anytime you see good, Adam didn't put that good in people. The devil sure didn't put that good in people. It's God that put that good in people. And even your little children, you see your little children. You see them just do something good. You say, you know, that was good. Who put that good in that child? Who did? It was God that put that in there. And we see God ruling and reigning on that heart. And when God rules and reigns in the hearts of the child of God, no one can remove him. Now, a child of God can live in such a way, because he still has his carnal nature, that it's hard to see it sometimes. But God can't be removed from their heart. He's ruling and reigning there. The Bible also teaches the kingdom of God in a context that's referring to the church. This is where God rules. See, what we're doing in the New Testament church, we're submitting to God's rules. We submit to that. We're saying, God, you're right. And if we disagree, we're wrong. You ever notice the text over Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12? Turn there with me. See if this fits with Luke chapter 17. Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Is that referring to my heart within me? I hope not. Somebody's going to take a sword and cut my heart shreds. It's going to be a fight in my heart. It's not referring to the same thing. Now, a sister text to that is over in Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, and I'm going to put these together. And Jesus said, "The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Now, if that's in me, that means every man is pressing into my heart, right? If that's that kingdom, but it's not. It's a different aspect of the kingdom. It's a different context. It's referring to the church. See, the kingdom of God is preached, and those that take it by force, violent, and they're pressing into it. Now, they're not fighting against the church. No, they're fighting against the influence of the world. They have to get violent with the influence of the world. They have to press against the temptations of the devil. Do you know, for you to enjoy the church, the kingdom of God, here where God rules, you will have to press against the temptations of Satan, against the ideas of the world. You know, the world, and I say the world as the evil world, the wicked world, the world's ways, it's not for you being in the house of God, learning the right ways of God. No, that's not what it's for. It's against that. The devil is not for you being here in the house of God this morning. And you will have to press against that, and you'll have to get violent. It's a violent fight. You have to fight with the devil. That's what a spiritual warfare is. You're fighting against the influence of the world and the influence of the devil to be here in the house of God, the church. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus uses those terms, church, kingdom of heaven, synonymously. He asked his disciples, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, some say John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, some Elias, or just one of the prophets. He said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon Bar-Jonah, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He said, "Upon this rock, me and my power of revelation," Jesus and his power of revelation. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee," Peter, "I will give to thee the keys to the church." No, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter had keys, not to glory itself, not to my heart, but to the church. Do you realize the gospel is keys to the kingdom of heaven? It tells people how to enter into the church and enjoy the church. That's what the gospel does. See, I'm up here preaching not to get you in heaven. I'm here preaching hoping that God has blessed me to have the knowledge of the word, to have keys to hand to you, that you could come into the church and enjoy fellowship with God that loved you before the world began. There's a third aspect of the kingdom taught in Scripture. And it's over in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is preaching on the Mount of Olives. He was asked three questions. You know, Jesus told the disciples concerning the temple. They showed him the temple. "Boy, this is beautiful." And Jesus said, "There shall not be a stone left unturned. This place is going to be destroyed," he said in Matthew 24. And it was. When the Romans in 70 AD came and destroyed the temple and set it on fire, the gold of the temple melted between the seams of the stones, and they tore it piece by piece and got the gold out. Over 1 million Jews were taken in captivity. Some were left inside the city for dead. Jesus told them there'd be some taken and others left. And that's what happened. "When shall these things be?" they said. "What is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered those questions in succession. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This is the end of the world. The end of the world. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them," all nations, "one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king," the king that's sitting on the throne, saying to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What is he talking about here? He's talking about my heart? Mm-mm. He's talking about the church? Mm-mm. He's talking about heaven itself. That's what he's talking about. Where God rules. He said, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you come unto me. When do we do these things, Lord? When? He said, if you've done one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. And if we have done any of those things, it only shows evidence that we belong to him. If we've done any of those things to our brothers and sisters here in this life, it shows evidence that we have life. He didn't give us life, but none of us have done all those things. There's not one person sitting in these pews that's done all those things. There's not one person that's sat in any church house in the last 50 years that's done all those things. But there is one that did them all. There's one that did them all. You know who it is? Jesus did them all. Every one of them. And when he died on the cross, he took our sins upon him. And he took all those things that he did to a jot and a tittle without one being missed. And he gave all that credit to you. It was placed, imputed to you. So that when you get to heaven, it's just like you did it. And you will be accepted into glory just as if you never sinned. You know how Jesus was accepted into heaven?
Yeah.
He didn't say, hold up just a minute. You got to stand right here and go through an examination. The angels came and looked him up and down to make sure he's without spot. No. They welcomed him right in, ushered him right in, and he went right into heaven and sat on the throne. You know what's going to happen to you, dear child of God, when you get to heaven? They're not going to have a big screen TV to play you wrongs and rights. God's not going to have his children embarrassed. I got a boy and girl. I would not allow people to embarrass them in my presence. God loves you more than I love my children. You will not be embarrassed, but you will be welcomed into heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. And we'll enjoy the place where God rules forever and ever. Now, can you see those three? The kingdom of heaven's here. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is there. Every place we find it is where God rules. I believe God's ruling in my heart. Here in the church, I want to submit to God to show the world he rules in the church. But praise God, there is a time coming when there'll be no denying, there'll be no disobedience, there'll be no arguing. After that day, there'll be no atheist. But praise God, we'll all be where the Lord rules. By his grace and his grace alone. Thank you, Brother Joe, for coming to see us today. I love you very much. If you've enjoyed the message today, you thank the Lord. Brother Joe would not take credit for anything.